So everybody started calling me Bobby. Nice to see you again tonight. I hope and pray you've been practicing how to say hallelujah. Remember Revelation? Four times. We're going to be saying it in heaven. We're going to look at tonight in 1 Timothy chapter 6. You know, that we had a men's conference and I saw something was in part of it, but we were talking about real men. Tonight we're going to talk about a man of God, a man of God, the man of God fleeing, the man of God following, the man of God fighting, and the man of God being furnished. We see it all in, I like to use alliteration, but I don't have to look for it because it's all here in black and white, which is kind of nice for a change, isn't it? We're going to read in at chapter 6 of 1 Timothy. I'm going to read down to verse 13. Paul again is speaking to Timothy, of course, is one of his proteges, and of course he's encouraging him. And just like you and I, and as young men and young women, women are not exempt. It could be a man, a woman of God too, right? And we need to think of all these little things that he's going to look at. So verse 1 of chapter 6, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to a wholesome words or healthy words or sound words, even as the word of our Lord Jesus Christ, as to the doctrine or teaching which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh even strife, railings, even evil surmisings. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself or flee from. But godliness with contentment is great, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich, in that word, those will be rich, deliberate choice or a fixed determination to be rich, will fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, not money, but the love of money, is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faithfulness. It says faith, but probably better, faithfulness, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. Verse 14 of chapter 3 of 2 Timothy says this, and Paul is speaking again to Timothy, of course, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, pardon me, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be made perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. May God bless the reading of his word. The man of God. If you went to the Old Testament, you would see probably over 70 times people who are called a man of God. Moses, for instance, probably 6 or 7 times in the Old Testament, he is labeled as the man of God. Psalm 90, for example, if you wanted to go there, in verse 1, it says, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. What is a man of God? What is a man of God? A man of God is someone who has a godlike character in his behavior. Now, no one can be God, and no one can be exactly like him. But his characteristics of God. I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. And this covers a lot of the men of the Old Testament, but also some of the New Testament. Look what it says in 1 Peter 1, 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation or origin. For the prophecy came not in old time, that means any time or at any time, by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved or guided by the Holy Spirit. What is a man of God? A man with the characteristics of God, someone who is guided and directed by the Spirit of God, whom we are indwelt with, those of us who are saved. Now, we know a lot of people say, well, just men just wrote that book. Just a bunch of men wrote that book. Around 40 authors wrote the Word of God, and then those two verses tells me that they were holy men of God. We talked about, and you can go back to the Old Testament, as I already mentioned, there's Nehemiah, there's Samuel, there's Elijah, there's Elisha, there's David, all called a man of God. Moses called a man of God. He wrote the first 5 books of the Old Testament and so on. So these were examples of the man of God. So now Paul is speaking to Timothy here. He's speaking to Timothy, and he says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, he says, "Oh, but thou," verse 11 of chapter 6 of 1 Timothy, "but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." So what was Timothy supposed to flee from? Well, we just read from verse 3, it says, "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to the wholesome words, even of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to teaching which is according to the promise." Number one, he was to flee from false teaching. We need to be aware of that, false teaching. We need godly reliability. We need sound doctrine. We need teaching. Look what it says in verse 5. "Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself." That means to flee from, get away from, separate yourself from. So we see, again, withdraw thyself from ungodly disputings and so on. True contentment. We need to be, there's a number 6, verse 6, I'm sorry. "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Be content with what we have. Be content with what we have. "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith," "and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." So then we see verse 11, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things." False teaching, conceit, impurity, discontentment, a discontented spirit, foolish and harmful lusts. Foolish and harmful lusts. First of all, we're to be content with what we have, not to lust or covet what others may have. "From the love of money," which is with its attending evils. "The passion to be rich and setting the heart on this world is a dangerous course for a believer. In this much-traveled way, there are snares, pitfalls, and many sorrows. excess money can get us places, privileges, and we can be with people to rub shoulders with that are not common to the ordinary person. The Apostle Paul lost the companionship of one devoted servant of God this way. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10 says this, "For Demas, who was a servant of the Lord, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and departed unto Thessalonica." And you know what? Again, we said it's not money that God is against. Why how can we prove that? Well, if you go back to the Old Testament, we know of Abraham was a very wealthy man. We know David was a very wealthy man. We know King Solomon was very wealthy. And God blessed them. Why? Because they did not have a love for money. Did you ever hear anybody say, "I love money"? I heard people say that. "I love money. I love the feel of it. I love being around it." That is to be obsessed with it, to be incensed with making money, to go through anything or go over anybody to get money. That is what the love of money is. And what is Paul saying to Timothy? He says, flee. Because you know what? He says, even if you did start making, and there's nothing wrong with making money, you're doing it the right way. And you're honoring God. And that's what the Old Testament saints were doing. They were honoring God, and God blessed them. But he's saying the love of money means the deliberate choice or a fixed determination to be rich at any price. You know, it's not hard to get there. We were in business for 18 years, and you know what? You can be occupied with making a living, yes, but we also love to fill up our bank accounts, don't we? None of us are exempt, not even this person here. So what Paul was saying to Timothy, he said, flee these things. What was he to flee again? False teaching. He was to flee from conceit, impurity. There's another place in Corinthians speaks about that. Youthful lusts. Flee youthful lusts. You know what? That can cover a lot of things, can it? Youthful lusts and so on. and discontentment, a discontented spirit. Foolish and harmful lusts. That's what we are to flee. First Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18. Just turn there for a moment. First Corinthians chapter 6. First Corinthians 6 and verse 18. Because we'll see that word again, I believe, here. Excuse me. Flee fornication. There's the word again. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Flee. What does flee mean? It means to get out of the way. Can we give you an illustration in the Word of God? If you went back to Genesis chapter 39, Genesis 39 and verse 12, who's we give an illustration of? Remember Joseph? Joseph was in Potiphar's, was looking after Potiphar's household and all his possessions. He worked in the home, and of course, I believe probably Potiphar's wife was a very attractive-looking woman. And she made sure one day that no one else was in the home. And in verse 12 of chapter 39, it says this, "And she caught him by his garment, saying, 'Lie with me.' And he left his garment in her hand, and he fled. And he got him out. He got out of there. He fled. He got out of there." Now, a lot of men, a lot of people were put in that position, given the power, the authority, and everything, the coast is clear, if you will. That's when we need to be men of God. That's when we need to be real men. That's when we need to be spiritually, right? Spiritual. And so Joseph is one of those persons who is an illustration of someone fleeing from a situation that could have went the other way. You know what? We can say to ourselves, what would I have done in that situation? And that's what Paul is saying to Timothy. He says, Timothy, if you get into these situations, like false teaching, like all these things that we just talked about, youthful lusts, about things like we just talked about here. He says, you need to flee. And you know what? Joseph fled that day, and guess what happened? He did the right thing, and where did he land up at? In prison. But God blessed him, didn't he? Because he did the right thing. So that is a part of a man of God. Someone who has a tremendous relationship with God. Someone who was led by the Spirit of God. Someone who was walking close with the Lord. So we need to flee fornication. We need to flee youthful lusts and so on. There are times when running is a mark of a coward. Yes, we're not to run from our responsibility. We looked at that in Upton this morning. Man, God put man responsible for his creation. Man was responsible for his wife when she took that fruit from the tree. Man was told by God not to eat of that tree. And we know what happened. We have a tremendous responsibility in our homes. That is not to abuse our family, but that is to lead them in the right direction. And so man has a tremendous responsibility. There's no two ways about that. Responsibilities we are not to run from, our duties. But there are other times when fleeing is a mark of wisdom and means of victory. Joseph fled when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife, and David fled when King Saul tried to kill him. That would be the right thing to do, I think, because you'd probably end up dead. Probably a wise time to do that. The word flee that Paul uses here did not refer to literal running, but to Timothy to separate himself from the sins of false teachers. And this echoes the admonition of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5, from such withdraw. We just read that. Perverse disputings, verse 5, of men of corrupt minds and destitute of truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. And we get on YouTube and we start looking at some of these health and prosperity preachers. Wow. Some of them are, I'm telling you, are absolutely dangerous. One fellow said that we were little gods. We're all God. He said, I'm God. One person said that God was the biggest one who made the biggest mistake. He couldn't even satisfy his angel, Lucifer. And look what his man, his creation did. I mean, to say things like that, that's blasphemy. And we don't want to ever go near that stuff. Well, you know what? They have crowds of people. You know, one of the biggest preachers is over $250 million. And people are still forking money to him. And he's teaching them everything. Terrible. Apostate preachers in this world. So that's what Paul is saying to Timothy. He said, get yourself away from those kinds of people. Don't be listening to. We see Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't listen to ungodly counsel. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Don't linger around with people who are in sin. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Don't sit down with people who are scornful towards God. Blasphemy. Dirty jokes. Dirty things going on. Get out of there. And you know what verse 2 says? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's where his attention should be. That's where his appetite should be. In the Word of God. And we see what verse 3 says. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth her fruit in her season. That is from the Word of God. So we need to flee things like that from Paul was saying. The next one is, next word, F word, if you will. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow. Follow what? Righteousness, godliness, faithfulness, love, patience and meekness. God doesn't ask us to flee from something and then he just leaves you hanging. He's got a place for you to go. He says, follow after what? Follow after righteousness. Follow after godliness. And you know, as we've already heard, we are already made righteous, but we are to follow after righteousness. We are to continue on, right? When you follow something, you're continuing on in righteousness. And we can use an example of Elisha who followed Elijah. Elijah a couple of times told him, you go here. Elisha said, no, I'm going with you. I'm going to be right with you. And we can think of two men who are called righteous in the Word of God. One was Abraham and one was his nephew called Lot. In 1 Peter, thank the Lord, that he put it there, that Lot was called a just man, vexed with the wickedness of that city. But who would you want to be following, Abraham? Or would you want to follow Lot? He was still called a righteous man. So we are to continue on. God has made us righteous. We have already heard that this morning. God hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We are righteous before God, but we can live a miserable, righteous life if we don't follow righteousness. You say, well, how can that happen? We know about the Spirit of God not working in our lives and so on. And we see what happened to Lot. He lost his wife, turned into a pillar of salt, his two daughters. You know, terrible things happening. And poor Lot was saved, as it were, by the skin of his teeth. So we need to follow after righteousness. What does the word righteous mean? It means to righteousness is to follow righteousness. Means our personal integrity before God and before man. It has to do with our character, our right living. Right living before God and before man. A lot of times we can say things and we may do the opposite. So follow after righteousness. When God commands us to flee, he gives us the right direction to go. We must follow righteousness. Follow righteousness. Then it says, follow godliness. What does that is? It's a practical piety that has to do with our conduct. Not just our character, but our conduct. Holiness of our conduct. In 1 Peter 1:15 and 16, it says, but he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of your living. That's a good word to do a study on, holiness. What does it mean to be holy? Because sometimes, you know, we speak about being saved and we think that it's just one time thing. You get saved and then you just go on living your life. Our Bible says that we are saved by faith. That's Ephesians 2:8-9. It says the just or the righteous shall live by faith, three times in the epistles. It says the saved, the righteous shall walk by faith. And when we're walking, we're taking one step at a time. So wouldn't that speak about our daily living? We should walk in faith every day of our lives. We must live by faith. And it also says in 1 John that we overcome sin by faith. So it's not just going out there and getting ourselves saved, like some people say. And so they say, okay, I'm saved, so God will take care of the rest. Yes, God will, but you know what? He wants us to be his partner to work in our lives. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, but we need to do something about it. We need to walk along with him, shouldn't we? Because when we're walking with him, keeps us out of trouble. Keeps us out of trouble. It says about walking so many times in the epistles. We're children of light. We should walk as children of light. We should walk circumspectly. That's very carefully. So that speaks about our Christian lives. Because sometimes we get the notion that we're saved and you know what? We basically just go on living. But we need to watch our godliness and our righteousness. And it goes on to say, follow, first of all, it says here, follow righteousness, godliness, and the word faith, it means our faith. And if we had time, you could go through this whole epistle, and you see where Paul is warning Timothy about departure from the faith. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, look what it says. Some shall depart from the faith. So Paul is speaking to Timothy. He's saying, you know what? Some people will depart from the faith. Look what it says in 1 Timothy 5:8. Some shall deny the faith. Look what it says in 1 Timothy 5:12. And some shall cast off their faith. All in this little book. And in 1 Timothy 6:10, some shall be seduced or erred from the faith. That is by wealth and riches, love of money. 1 Timothy 6:21, some shall err concerning the faith. 2 Timothy chapter 2:18, overthrow the faith of others. 2 Timothy 2:18. And 2 Timothy 3:8, some shall be reprobate concerning the faith. Now, what you wonder, he says, you know what? Follow after faithfulness. Be faithful. Be in the faith. We're going to look at the next one. It's going to say, fight the good fight of faith. So we see there, again, man is to follow after righteousness, godliness, faithfulness, love. Look at love. What does that mean? We should love one another, even as God loved the church. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And we know how many times it says in the epistles that we should love one another, even in spite of ourselves. We need to love one another. And then it says, follow patience. Patience carries the idea of endurance, sticking to it when the going gets tough. It is not a complacency that waits, but a courage that continues in hard places. Endurance of trials and so on. And we could give you scriptures, but we don't have time to go there. And then we see follow meekness or gentleness. That is the last one. Follow meekness or gentleness. And what is meekness? It is not weakness, but instead is power under control. Courageous endurance. Without meekness could make a person a tyrant. How can we have an example of meekness? Meekness. One man was called Moses. Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3. Listen to what it says. Now the man Moses was very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth. Think of that, leading 2-3 million people, however it was, to come out of Egypt. It would drive me nuts. And we know about their complaining, their whining, and so on. Remember, it did frustrate him one time. He struck the rock twice. But he was meek, the meekest man. And guess who was even more meek than him? Matthew chapter 11. Take this yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. Power under control. He is our exemplar. And so that's why the Word of God is so important for us. So we see the man of God is to be follow after all those things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faithfulness, love, patience, and meekness. And look at verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Grab a hold of it. That is ours. Lay hold of eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. He says, fight the good fight of faith. What did Paul say in Timothy here? I have fought a good what? Fight. I finished the course. And what is laid up before him, and for not just for us, but for every one of us that have finished the course. We go to Hebrews chapter 12. It says, we're running a race, the race that is set before us. I never noticed that before, but God has set a race before us collectively as Christians, but he's also set a course, a race for you and I individually to run. He set a course. And in that same place we see he is, who again is looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. So two comparisons there. The race that was set before us and the joy that was set before him. Kind of a nice comparison there, a nice little study there. So we have a race to run. And God has a plan and purpose for every one of us. You know what? We have to run the course, or he wants us to run the course. That doesn't mean we're going to. And that's why we see in the verses, we see the sins that so easily beset us and all the things that are in our way as we run, as we think about a race that is being run. And so we see here a fight. We need to, and what he's talking about, the fight of faith. He's not talking about just individual faith. He's talking about the whole body of truth. From beginning to the end. That's what the body of, he's talking about here, the faith. He said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. And we could go into a whole lot more on this verse, but I don't have time because I'm running out. I want to get to the last one. You can do a study on that one verse. Fight the good fight of faith. And what does it all mean? I want to go to the last one, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14-17. And here we see the word of God is spoken about. And the first of all, the scripture that makes a sinner wise unto salvation is verse 14 and 50. Paul says to Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. and that from a child I was known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So we see in those two verses, the Word of God makes a person wise unto salvation. It can save a person. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Look at verse 16 and 17. This is the Word of God, not only gives us salvation, but it sanctifies you in your living as a Christian. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine or teaching. That is what is right, for reproof. That is to show us what is not right. For correction, that is to show us how to get it right. And then it says, for instruction in righteousness, that is how to keep it right. That the man of God, there is the word man of God, that one who has characteristics of the Lord, someone who is being led by the Spirit of God, that he may, that man of God may be perfect, that is spiritually mature, thoroughly furnished by the all for on to all good works. What do we mean by furnished? That means to be equipped. And if you want to use an illustration, furnished, if you had a brand new house and you call up M&M, you'd say, well, I want this place furnished. What do they do? You go to your kitchen and they put furniture in there. What are they about? Stove, fridge, things that you need, equipment, right? Go to your living room and they put your all the things you need in your house. So you have a house, when they're all done, you have a house that's furnished. That means it is totally equipped for what? For use. And so how does that refer to you and I? If we're in the Word of God and we see what is right, we see what is not right, we see how to get it right, and we see how to keep it right, God will furnish us by this book. It's alive, quick, it's alive, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of man's heart. And you know what? The more you get into God's Word, the closer we will be to the characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I understand myself, but we can get away from it, and we can get cold, and I understand that too. So the man of God is to a man fleeing. A man of God is to a man following. Look up those six words again. A man of God is to be a man fighting for the whole body of truth, to stick to it. Sound words, we talked about that. Sound, healthy, spiritual words from the Word of God. A man of God is to be a man furnished by the Word of God. And we pray that the Lord will bless each one that hears that. And you know what? We can all apply that to our own lives, because being a Christian is not easy. And God does not tell us it is. But He gives us all the tools to be one, to live for Him, and to walk in His ways. Let us close in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we bow before Thee. We thank Thee for the Word of God. And Father, this evening we just scratched, as it were, the surface of these four things about a man of God. The man of God is to flee fornication and lustful, youthful lusts, from false teaching, from greed, and so on. He's to follow after righteousness and faithfulness and holiness, godliness. And Father, he is to fight the good fight of faith, to hold on to eternal life, to grasp it, to enjoy it, to appreciate it. And Father, he is to be furnished by the Word of God. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth her fruit in her season, and whatsoever he shall do shall prosper. Father, we thank thee for each one here tonight, individually, collectively. We thank thee that we are saved. And Father, we have eternal life before us. We have a prospect, Father, that is unbelievable, something that we cannot really comprehend. And yet, Father, it is real. And someday, real soon, we're going to be with our Lord and our Savior, the one who has redeemed us, as we heard earlier today. Father, the one who was made a curse for us, the one who loved us and gave himself for us. So, Father, we ask that you would pardon us with your blessings. We ask that you take us home in safety. We ask, Father, you'll bless our children, our families, and bless those, Father, who are not out tonight. But, Father, we pray that those who are on the streets and roads, that would take them home safely. We ask all these things in the name of your lovely Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.